This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Bill, Maryville University sponsors our phone lines. Go to maryville.edu for more information. Take a tour of that beautiful campus in Town and Country. Mark Stricker, CBC grad, doing a fine job with the basketball program, the soccer program. Both the men's and women's had outstanding seasons, and we know that baseball program is outstanding, too. We appreciate Maryville being a part of the program.
Their coach, Lori Kolupny, is going to be at Ballpark Village today. The announcement for the U.S. Women's National Team coming through Busch Stadium next year on their way to the World Cup. That was, like, again, on a certain day, you could play that up really big. That sort of came out yesterday that the announcement was coming up. And you didn't even have time. And Barry Odom's contract extension was just kind of like, hey, Barry got a contract extension. And the Billikens are playing, which, by the way, I paid the $4.95 to sign up. Our station didn't have the ESPN subscription. I have 7 days to cancel.
Really?
I thought maybe I'll just call and say, signal didn't work for me. Why am I canceling? I just tell them that I did it for TV purposes. Then they'll charge me more.
Yeah, I didn't. I saw the whole thing. It's just a brutal game. Gosh, they can't shoot sometimes. I told you this like a month ago. I went to practice, and I've been to about 10 practices, and I watched these guys shoot before practice. Ball just doesn't go in very often. They do not have enough good shooters, and their best shooter, Deion Wiley, is not playing.
Can they reinvent themselves? Can they just make it a conscious effort to pound it inside? Or do you think everybody's going to sag down and say, we know you can't shoot?
Well,
And the guy, I'll tell you what, Isabel, I think, thinks he's a better shooter than he is.
Like, yeah, Javon Best, a scorer.
But I think he's a little higher on his game than maybe he
Absolutely.
Should be.
Yeah.
And Javon Best was 1-for-10 last night. He was definitely a little impaired because of the ankle. Wasn't himself.
Yeah.
There are times when he can stroke it.
You're right.
Not consistently.
I think he's more of a mid-range shooter, and although he's made some threes. But, boy, you're right, though. The way to play them, just pack that zone in and say, here's a 20-footer. Go ahead and shoot it.
Because I don't know who I'd kick it out to and say, bust the zone.
Yeah.
And you might be right with Deion Wiley, but you've got a lot of star power there, but it is more of a physical star power.
Speaking of physical star power, let's check in with the former Purdue star, the pride of East St. Louis, the head coach of the Missouri Tigers, our friend Konzo Martin. Coach, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
All right, Frank, how you doing?
Good. So if you go to the three-point line right now and you are not guarded, you are loose and limber, and a lot of people don't realize this, you are an unbelievable shooter at Purdue. How many, if you shoot 25 threes right now, Coach, how many do you make?
With a bad shoulder, I think if warmed up for about 40 minutes, I could make about 5 of them. It's just the shoulder's bad, Frank, and I got to have surgery on it here in the spring, so I can't make too many right now, Frank. I'm sad to say I can't make too many.
Is that because overuse and you were a hog at Purdue and you wouldn't throw the ball down to Glenn Robinson enough?
Oh, he averaged 30 points a night. We gave him the ball enough. I think just wear and tear over the years.
All right. All right, let's talk about your club. And, boy, you've had a nice stretch here. I get the impression you guys are getting better, like, each day at practice.
Oh, yeah. I like working with our guys. I mean, and I hate to say the word young, but a new group of guys, a new team. It's fun to be around them. Obviously, painful when you lose some games, painful when you see turnovers that you don't think should happen. But I like the growth of our guys. I like the way they like playing with each other and for each other and the way they represent on the court with their effort, their intensity. I just like the maturity of, you know, Jordan Geist as a senior leader. I like the growth of Jeremiah Tillman and the things that he's doing. Again, ways to go, but I like where we are.
And Jordan Geist, the huge shot the other day. There's a kid that's been through a lot, some ups, some downs. And I think they were joking that he's the Kahuna now. They're saying he's got some guts, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, he's a tough kid. I mean, he wants to compete. He plays extremely hard, but he's also a guy that prayed and for the opportunity to play at this level. And he's not taking it for granted. He's applauding every opportunity he gets to make big shots, to make big plays, but also embracing challenges. Like the team against UT Arlington, he had a really good point guard. And I thought Jordan Geist held him to 0 points. He had 8 for the game. But just those things like that. And I think that's where he represents us the most, the way he defends, the way he battles, the way he competes and embraces challenges.
Speaking of hitting shots, it was big the other night that Torrence Watson hit some big ones for you. What a prolific player. We watched him for 4 years at Whitfield, and I imagine his confidence is growing, and you know he can really shoot it.
Yeah, we're happy to see that, I think, as a coaching staff. Just to see shots fall for him, because a good kid, obviously, you want to see him be successful. At 6'4", good frame, can score, can shoot it. And I think the sky's the limit for him with his ability to attack the rim, to be strong with the basketball, to be shot ready. And any guy that scores the ball and shoots the ball, he needs confidence to see the ball goes in. But even though his shots weren't falling, I like the way he played hard. He played with energy. You know, he plays with emotion. I think that's the thing that'll get him over the hump. But if his shot's going, I think he's a complete basketball player. But it was good to see.
And pretty nice that the waiver, whatever the proper wording is, for Mark Smith to end up eligible. I'm not sure where you'd be without a guy like Mark Smith. And some of that now, I think schools just kind of get it. Hey, if we don't need a kid or want a kid, let's not be unreasonable about it. We've seen other examples like a Drew Smith where it doesn't work that way. Are you in the mindset now where kids should be able to kind of go as they please?
Oh, but I've always been in that mindset. I mean, I just think what happens is, first and foremost, especially when kids graduate, I think if you've graduated from college, you should go anywhere you want to go. It doesn't matter because you've earned that right. You spent 4+ years and you got a degree, so you have the opportunity to go wherever you want to go. Now, I think with young men, when things don't work out for whatever reason, they should have the right to transfer. But I've always been a guy. I struggled as a freshman at Purdue early because of the things I had to learn. And I came from a great high school coach in Benny Lewis, a great program, and there was still things I had to learn at the college level. We were 2-3 zone, back to, pressed to a 2-3 zone. I had to learn how to play man-to-man. So there's growth in that from high school to your freshman year. So for me, it was never a case of transferring because obviously the people at home, that wasn't even thought of. You're going to fight through. And I think that was more the culture, the mentality then. And because my biggest thing, even from my mom's standpoint, you're getting a degree, you're working hard, you know, trust the coaches and all those things because you're in their hands now. And I respected all that. So I just wanted to compete and fight and play. But I think if a kid has the opportunity to go somewhere else and play, I think all coaches understand, give the kid the opportunity. Because at the end of the day, his body going through it, his family going through it, he has to go to the classroom. Give it to him. I don't understand why would you do the other.
What are you trying to do with Jeremiah to get him to the next stage in his game? I mean, he had a moment the other night where it was a drop step, head fake. It was unbelievable footwork. And he's had those isolated good moments. How do you put more of those moments together and make this guy a force on the block, Coach?
I think he's becoming – I think what you saw in that game, he was defending one-on-one. I'm not sure how many teams will defend Jeremiah one-on-one in the post. I think what you see sometimes, even when he turned the ball over, he's done a lot better at going against the double team. But I think what happens, one-on-one in the post, and here's a guy 7'6", Taco Fall, and Jeremiah scored the ball, footwork and all that. Well, you don't see him being defended one-on-one in the post quite a bit. So I think if that's the case, if he's one-on-one, I think he's a 15, 20-point guy at night, then making good decisions with the basketball. And the beautiful thing about him, he's shooting 81% from the free throw line. So now, I just think it's the growth in this game to have the opportunities to play one-on-one basketball, which I don't know if many teams will play him one-on-one consistently. So, and it's just him really staying on the floor, because whenever he's on the floor, he impacts the game. And he had 10 rebounds the last game, but it's just when he gets in foul situation, it takes him out of the game mentally as well as physically. So if he's able to stay on the floor, I think you can see a lot of parts to his game, even catching the ball at the elbow, making moves off the dribble. So just giving him opportunities to do that. But I think he's showing some things. But I think the other thing, Frank, with all of it, because of the one-and-done, you know, culture mentality, we assume a guy's supposed to get it from day one. I knew my struggles as a freshman basketball player. I've been around some good players that turned out to be great players in their first several months or first year of college, just going through whatever it is you have to go through. So it takes time. Everybody doesn't pick it up from day one.
Martin and Frank here with Konzo Martin. Mizzou will play Oral Roberts on Friday night. And, Coach, I'm wondering about expectations. You came in your first year, crazy amount of hype and energy. You go to the tournament your first year. This year, obviously, the team not as loaded as it was. What do you tell boosters? What do you tell people around the program in terms of expectations? Because I think that first year was so exciting. And being in the tournament, and you're obviously really young right now, if the boosters come up, if you're going around the state, what did you tell them going into this year?
We expect the same thing every year. I mean, because the truth of the matter is my job to recruit student-athletes. You have 13 scholarships to recruit the best student-athletes that fit what you're trying to do and what your program is about, the culture of your program, the type of young man. But I don't necessarily say a lot from the standpoint. It's a program, and everything you do, it takes time. When you lose a key guy like Jontay Porter, everybody loses somebody at some point. It's part of it. You don't make excuses about it. I've never been a guy to do that. But you don't all of a sudden say, we click on all cylinders, you lose a guy of that caliber. You have to make the necessary adjustments and you keep moving forward, but not to make any excuses about it. But I just, you know, it's one day at a time. You continue to get your guys better. Some guys have to step up. Some guys you didn't expect to play as many minutes. He has to grow into that role, and that's part of it. But I just think we'll get where we're trying to go. I like our guys. I like where we are. And it just, for me, it's one day at a time. And you built to build a program that stands the test of time, not to stand the weekend or stand the year, but the test of time.
Coach, any news on Jontay? Is he around the program much? How is his rehab coming along?
He's doing well. He just started weightlifting this week, upper body weightlifting. He comes to the games. He's at shoot around. He's at pregame. Then he sits in the locker room during games because of the ability or not to be able to stretch his legs sitting on the bench. So he's in the locker room during the game.
Good stuff. Look, I think you're being humble. I think even with a bad shoulder, you'd knock down 15.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you for believing in me.
Hey, oh, Coach, quick thought. Bragan writes, we may not talk to you between now and then. It's going to be a fun night for Mark Smith and Jeremiah Tillman. Those Illinois fans, you may tell those kids to be ready for it.
They'll be ready. They'll be ready to go. I mean, obviously, it's always an exciting time, and hopefully we have everybody packed house. Hopefully the city of St. Louis is jumping, energy and passion throughout the city. Because I think, you know, from a commerce standpoint, I think that'll be great for the city and the community.
Coach, good stuff. We really appreciate your time. Thanks so much. We'll see you soon.
Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Konzo Martin joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Do we want to do a quick 5-4, or do we have time?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Let's do that right now. It's 5 for Frank, and it is brought to you by Greenville University. Greenville University, located less than an hour from St. Louis.
Now the hot topics. It's 5 for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
See, what people don't understand is what we do, we're kind of like Peyton Manning. We're under center. We're under center. Halle Berry.
That was good the other night. Was that Jared Goff? Yeah, that's cool.
And she actually noted that. Hey, what are you talking about me for? We're under center. Things are developing around us. We're looking out over the landscape. It's the windows on Kirkwood. People are coming in. Guests are arriving. And sometimes you have to sort of audible. Frank's an RPO guy. He could run. He could pass.
RPO.
Or he could just chuck it right at Hoffman, and you better be ready, pal. All right. Frank, true or false, the best thing that happened to the Cardinals in the Goldschmidt deal is that they weren't able to work out an extension. And my theory is this. If you had an extension, wouldn't the price tag go way up? Like if the Diamondback said, you can talk to him.
So Dakota Hudson, Tyler O'Neill, Colton Wong.
Don't you think if you say to Arizona, hey, we locked him up, we got the deal done, now let's make the trade. Doesn't the trade cost you a ton more? Isn't it a better risk here to get him and then hope you sign him? You know what I'm saying? If you had a long-term deal, then Arizona's going to say, all right, you just got him for 5-6 years. You owe us a hell of a lot more.
Boy. So if you do re-sign him, it's really awesome, yeah.
How many people thought that Andy Young was made up when that, did you know about Andy Young?
No. He is an Indiana State middle infielder who played for the same coaches that Young Dom is playing for. And Indiana State's really excited about this young man getting a chance.
Box for Andy. On his way to Arizona. If you're Mozeliak too, do you think you keep a straight face? Like, well, we really don't want to touch Weaver. I don't know. Kelly's kind of untouchable to Mr. DeWitt. Don't you lie the whole time?
You
and
try.
Say, we've got Luke in our starting five next year. We really don't want to move him. And just keep lying the whole time, and then you finally act like you caved.
You think Arizona really falls for that?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I know Phil Rogers said, we'll wait a couple of years. I think even if Weaver and Kelly are good, and I hope that they are, the idea that you could get Goldschmidt and potentially keep him, it's still worth it, even if they pan out. I don't know how anybody could look at that and say it's not. Has anybody said less than a 9? Have you got people
no,
saying?
No, we have not got. It's all been 9s and 10s.
And we got and a lot of blankets around here. Where'd you go, Hoff? 9?
I did 9.
He's the professor who will never give you the A+.
Yeah.
He'll grade the paper and go 9.8. And then they say, well, what did I have wrong? Well, just a couple of things.
Oh, the font was bad. I had trouble reading it.
All right. Number 2. This may be the most telling stat about your Blues. They have had a 2-0 lead 5 times this year. So they jumped out to a 2-0 lead, and they've lost 4 of those games.
Wow. That's insane.
That's almost hard to do, isn't it? So you, it obviously means you were playing well in a game and you got out front five different times.
How could you, too, like in that final minute and a half? I know Edmonton's talented, but, boy, just hold on. Just do everything possible. Hold on. Win a game. And in that final minute, gosh.
All right, Frank, you are Barry Odom. Were you more excited about the quarterback or the contract?
The quarterback. Yeah, the quarterback.
Because if you don't get the quarterback, you probably don't get the contract. Yeah. Well, eventually, I mean, you don't get to keep your job down the road.
And what it does is it gives you a chance, even though he's there for just a year. But it, you know, in those four states he was in yesterday, you know, hey, look, if you come here, you're going to be playing with a really good quarterback. It just opens up more recruiting doors. Plus, nationally, it's the Mizzou was the talk of the country there for a little bit. They got, you know, the most available, you know, fifth-year transfer quarterback.
I love the fact he got a $600,000 raise, and he's still the 11th highest paid coach in the SEC. And does TJ get a commission here or not? Get a cut?
Yeah.
All right, Five for Frank brought to you by Greenville University. You are Travis Ford. Fix your offense. That's probably what you're trying to do right now in your office.
I got the trainer working on Deion Wiley and just making sure that guy's healthy. And I do make, you know, Tremaine and Javon and Jordan, guys that will shoot threes, make sure they're shooting 1,000 a day and just hope the percentages go up a little bit.
All right, number five, is this the sign of the apocalypse? The guy who won the Iditarod last year, Frank, in Alaska, has been cleared of any dog doping charges.
Oh, my God.
The dogs were tested, and they were positive for banned substances, but it wasn't him. They're saying it wasn't him who did.
Wow.
Is this unbelievable?
They asked the dogs, and the dogs all vouched for the guy.
They took a fall. There's a dog doping scandal with the Iditarod. There's nothing left in sports to believe in.
Next year, you're going to have a dog accused of what? Domestic violence and happy.
He's been suspended for a few days.
Wow.
Oh, that's nothing funny about domestic violence. Just the idea that the dogs could now be like a typical athlete in trouble.
Yeah. Because you mentioned that, that may be my kicker story at 520 today. Thanks for providing content to Channel 5.
Credit Martin.
Last week when Frank said, what are you going to lead with tonight? I was like, oh, crap, I don't know. And I said, oh, surprise. And we ended up, I think Patrick Clark was at the Salvation Army bell ringing, and he got John Mozeliak on camera. We led with that.
Really? Did he say anything interesting?
Just a thought, saying he said we... He said we hope to have some news for everyone before the holidays.
How about that?
Some news, plural, not just.
And then
new.
Tonight, of course, it's the Jags and the Titans.
Boy.
As I texted you earlier, this is the one time people are hoping for a weather cut-in. Go ahead, Steve Templeton, come over to Channel 2 tonight. You take an hour if you want. All right, Five for Frank brought to you by Greenville University.
All right, let's take a short time out. When we come back, we're going to talk to two attorneys who just beat Stan Kroenke.